Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll begin there this morning with a lesson called Prophet of Deliverance. And so we'll be able to work that together. Before we do, maybe there's someone who has prayer requests that we can take to the Lord this morning. Amen. We sure need that, don't we? Need prayers. Yes. Who's that? Okay. Oh. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Anyone else? All right, well, let's pray this morning and just ask the Lord to take care of the situations. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have just to praise you and to give honor to you, for you're worthy. We thank you for the fact that you hear and answer prayer. Lord, there are many today who are sick and not able, Lord, to really pray for themselves, so we ask that you would help them today, that you would touch their bodies, heal them, and encourage them. And for those, Lord, that have lost their loved ones, we ask that you'd comfort them today, minister to them. And we ask that you'd be with our country, our nation, Lord. We need you. We need revival. And we ask that you'd stir in our spirits, that you would help us as a people to look to you, because you said if we would call upon you, that you would hear us and that you would send your help. And so we ask you to help us today. Be with us as we go about this lesson today. We thank you for sending those who have spoken to us. And we today want to be listeners and good doers of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Preparing this lesson this morning or yesterday, and I thought of a little girl who was watching her dad, who was a pastor of a local church, getting his scriptures ready for the Sunday service. And he kept writing things down and then scribbling them out. And she said, "Dad, how do you know what to put down on that piece of paper?" He said, "What, honey? God tells me." She said, "If God tells you, how come you keep marking them out?" Well, sometimes that's about the way we are. God tells us and we mark them out. And this lesson today has to do with the prophet of deliverance, and most of these lessons in this quarter will be on prophets. And let me just say that when we think of prophets today, often we think of Old Testament prophets and people who spoke about the future. And not necessarily so. A prophet, in most cases, is just one who speaks forth the word of God. And we individually today can do that. It doesn't have to be in a great setting or whatever. It might be one-on-one. But the Lord can use us just to say something that would be of an encouragement to someone and to encourage them to do what needs to be done at the time. And so we're going to study a little bit about God's faithful covenant prophets. Prophets are always faithful to God. I'm talking about true prophets. Now there are such things as false prophets. A lot of false prophets in the world today. In fact, if you listen to the television very much, you're going to hear a lot of them. There are a lot of false prophets. And if you really want to hear about them, listen to the stock market. You'll hear a lot of false prophets. If you'll send them a money for a subscription to their newsletter, they'll prophesy to you things that are going to happen years and years ahead. The Bible said if you want to know how, and we'll see this here in this lesson, if you want to know how whether our prophet's true or not. Wait and see if it comes to pass. So I would say, you know, if it doesn't come to pass, he said, don't be afraid of that prophet. Don't be concerned about what he's saying. So here we are today, and a lot of prophets. Today's lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, which really means the second law. Moses went over two different generations of people. God chose him. And by the way, God chooses all true prophets. God chooses them. They don't choose just to be a prophet on their own, but God chooses them. And so this book of Deuteronomy, the second law, was given to the second generation of Israelites God wanted to speak to. It's the second giving of the law. He went over it again. Remember, sometimes we forget. And I was talking to my wife about my memory a little bit this week. I said, sometimes my rememberer is not as good as it used to be. And it's not. I can assure you of that. There's a lot of things I used to be able to remember, and I could call them back. Numbers, telephone numbers, and whatever else. I just can't do that anymore like I used to. Now, once in a while, I'll get one. Like, I've got the pastor's number, I think. And so I can remember that because it's easy. And there's a lot of phone numbers that I used to remember that I just don't remember anymore. And, of course, we today in this generation have just about, and I know why, just about quit having home phone numbers. We've got cell phones now, and everybody's numbers changed. See, I've had my home phone number, I guess, since the late 50s. You know, it's hard to believe that you would have that number that long, but that's just the way it is. And so sometimes we just don't remember. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that we need to go back over to help us remember. That's the reason why it's so important for us to read and reread this word. Let's look at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken," or you listen to him. While Moses didn't specifically identify who this was going to be, we can rest assured that this is talking about Jesus Christ. I believe that's true. And he's talking about one of these days, this prophet is going to speak things that you need to listen to. And we are here today for that purpose. And so Moses didn't specifically say that this was going to be Jesus, but we believe that it is. Now, Josh could be Joshua as well. Some scriptures have a double meaning. First of all, the prophet would be from the midst of this people. He was Jewish. How many of you know that Jesus was Jewish as a man? Yes. Now, I know there's a lot of people who do not agree with that today, and I'm sorry if you don't agree with me. It's okay for you to be wrong. But Jesus was Jewish. And so today, we can see that this prophet is going to come from his people, from the Jewish nation. And that's where Jesus raised from. Of course, we know that Joshua did as well. Secondly, this prophet would be like Moses. In other words, he's going to be chosen by God. That's what it says here. The Lord will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee. Not that he's going to choose to be a prophet on his own, and although he has choices to make, God's going to choose him. And so we can see here that that's exactly what happened. The third characteristic was this prophet was going to be someone who had authority. Prophets that are chosen of God always have authority. They don't try to show you their authority, but they just have the authority because it's God-given. And so we know that from the book of Mark. In fact, this scripture here says, you better listen to him. Amen. You better listen. My dad used to say, now, if you boys don't want to listen, you can feel. So, you know, you had a choice. You could either listen well enough to do what he asked you to do, or else he would teach you how to do that. You know, he'd get your attention. You know, if we want to really learn something, we have to have spend time with it and put our attention on it. So the earlier fulfillment of this prophecy probably did talk about Joshua. Joshua took over after Moses died. And so Joshua and Jesus really mean the same thing. They mean Jesus' salvation. Their names mean the same thing. And so Joshua and Jesus. So let's look at verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Hebron, that in the day of the assembly, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. This is the people of Israel talking to Moses. That Moses, don't let us see this great miracle of God sending to his people, but rather you stand in our midst, or you stand between us and God. It must have been quite a sight to see the very presence of God come and ascend on the tabernacle and stay there until it was time for it to move. A pillar of fire in the nighttime and a cloud in the day, shaded to keep it cool in the daytime, fire to keep it lit and warm in the night. And so the people requested that Moses stand between God and them. And they had very good reason to be afraid. And by the way, those who are not following Jesus today have a good reason to be afraid. I know we live in a society that's not afraid of very much. But it's because we don't recognize the greatness of God. And we can find out from the Old Testament prophets here that we're studying that sometimes the wrath of God fell upon people who were not afraid of him. Just because you're not afraid doesn't mean God can't set you straight. He will set you straight too. He'll set us straight quickly. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said unto me, talking about Moses, they have well spoken in that which they have spoken. This kind of summarizes what the Lord's telling Moses. They said it right. They better have you to stand between us, because with their situation, they're not in very good shape. And of course, Moses was told not even to let an animal come to Mount Horeb. Don't even let an animal touch this mountain. That's not a very big place. If you've ever seen pictures of it or been there, you can probably climb. You could climb it when you was in pretty good shape in probably a few hours. It's not a very big hill. But nevertheless, it was a hallowed place because God was there. There are a lot of places that are hallowed because God is there that we don't respect as we should. We need to respect the places where God dwells. That's one reason why we need to do our best to take care of these bodies, because they're the temple of God. I know they're temporal. The Bible says they are. But we need to take as good care of them as we can. And he says, verse 18, I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words. Notice what God's saying here. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Not he's going to speak unto them all that he wants to speak, you know, but the things that I tell him, that's what he's going to speak to you. If he's a true prophet, that's what he will do. And so we can see here that this clearly and very plainly anticipates the fact that Joshua is going to take over after Moses is dead and do the work that God has for him to do, and that later Jesus will come along. All legitimate prophets speak only what the Lord tells them to speak. Everything else is false prophecy. If you can't back up what someone says by this word, the word of the Lord, then we should not listen to it. We should let it slide, because there's a lot of false prophecies going on in the world today. A lot of culture changes today. And so we don't want to get caught up in that. And so the prophets were chosen by God. And the words that they were to speak were only to be the words that God gave them to speak. Now, we have a certain amount of accountability as Christians today. First of all, we have the accountability to listen and then to obey. Yes. That's the reason why I like what Pastor says about, if what I'm saying to you is true, then what are you going to do about it? And so if it's in the Word, what are we going to do about it? We are accountable for what we can do about it. And listen to verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whomsoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, talking about the prophet, I will require it of him. I'm going to hold you accountable for those words. You hear them, and you need to do them. You need to obey them. And if we don't, then that doesn't negate our accountability. We still are accountable to the Lord for the words that are spoken from a true prophet. Now then, number 20 says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in a name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. He said, if he's not a true prophet, this is the thing that needs to be done. The false prophet needs to be killed. Now, we don't operate in that vein today. In other words, we don't judge whether somebody's a false prophet. And if we find out that he is, we kill him, or there wouldn't be many politicians in Washington. That'd just be the way it is. Or in a lot of other places. But we don't operate that way today. We operate on love. We operate out of love. And so what he's talking about here is if the prophet speaks that which is true, obey him. If he speaks that which is out of his own mouth, then don't pay much attention to it. Don't listen to it. Judge everything that you hear by the word of God. And when I say judge it, I mean you find out if it's true. And this word will reveal whether it's true or not. So the first test is to find out for sure whether or not the comment has been verified by God and given to the prophet by God. For example, if this prophecy here says that this prophet that's going to be raised up will be likened to Moses. How many of you know Moses didn't choose himself, but he did later make the choice to suffer the things of God rather than live in the king's house. So we do have choices to make. But God had already chosen him to be his man of the hour, to go with Moses. In fact, Moses and God had a lot of discussion about who these people belonged to, talking about the Jews. Moses every once in a while would say, God, these are your people, they're not my people. And God would say, these people are yours. So there was a battle going on there between the two of them about whose people they were. Well, they were God's people, but God had chosen Moses to direct their steps, to take them where God wanted them to go, and to do what God wanted them to do. The second criterion here in this phrase is that they speak in the names of other gods. You see, these people were going into a land where there were a million gods, millions of gods. Everything was a god, made into a god. And he said, if they speak in the name of these other gods, don't pay any attention to them. And often in these verses, you find out it says, I am the Lord your God. I am. Yeah, I am. How many of you saw that the Pope just went back to Iraq, to the place where many religions were formed? In fact, it's kind of an unusual thing for that to be going on in this time or season of the world. I believe God's getting things ready, getting things spoken of and spoken to, that people need to hear the word of the Lord, and we're accountable for it. It says right here, you're accountable. If God's speaking to us, we're accountable for it. He said, I will require it of you. In other words, we can't just listen to a message or the word read before us and say, oh, that don't mean very much. That's dangerous ground, really. It's dangerous for us to do that. We need to take it to heart, think about it, and do what it says for us to do, because it's truth. God's word is truth. And so he called Moses to do a particular job, and Moses did a good job at it. Now, sometimes there were false prophets. How many of you remember about Balak? Balak. You know, he didn't think very much. What he was after was the money. By the way, there's a lot of prophets after the money today. The world's full of them. And sometimes I don't sleep very well. And that's not God's fault. That's my fault, because I take too long a nap in the afternoon. Might as well be honest about it. That's what happens. Well, I listen to the TV of 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and there's some people on there that you wouldn't believe telling you things that if you'll send me so much money, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'm going to tell you what, I don't listen to that very long. That's false prophecy. You know, you don't, I better not get on that. Nevertheless, Balak didn't do what God wanted him to do. In fact, Balak's servant got himself in a lot of trouble, if you know the story, because he went after them and tried to get some money out of them, and he did, and it came back to curse him. So Israel didn't carry out what God wanted them to do very well, and so God let some curses come upon them. False prophets tried to counter the message of Micaiah in the scriptures in the book of Kings. And there will always be those who will try to counter the truth of God, twist the words of God to where they don't mean what he means for them to mean. Our culture is bad about that. When I grew up, gay meant something that was happy and funny. It's not that way anymore. You know what I'm talking about. The words change in their meaning. We try to change their meanings as people. God never changes the meanings of it. He doesn't change it. God never changes. So the Bible's very clear that whenever a prophet is calling you to listen to the word of the Lord, repent of your sins and walk with God, you better listen to him. Because that's what this word teaches us to do. And so, I was thinking about this in our lifetime, and this lesson points this out. I remember watching the compound of David Koresh burn. And I thought, Lord, how many people perished in that that wouldn't have needed to if they would have only listened to what you're saying to them instead of what man's saying? Same way with Jim Jones. I've talked several times to Pastor Don Matthews, which many of you know, used to be close to Jim Jones. Jim Jones started off as a good teacher. And people can start off as good Christians and go astray. Prophets can go astray. And if we're not careful, we'll go astray. Because you're walking with the Lord today doesn't mean that you can't mess up and get off on the wrong path. That's the reason why it's important for us to stay in this Word, be refreshed in this Word, and obey it so that God can work on our heart and keep us tender before Him. So these men started well, but they didn't finish well. God will only say well done to those who have done well. I want to say that again. God will only say well done to those who have done well. Amen. Because He never lies. Amen. You don't expect God to say well done to you when you get to heaven if you haven't done well. Don't expect it because it's not going to happen. Amen. He's not going to say to me, Joe, you did well, if I don't do well. And I'm not going to do well in my own strength. I'm only going to do well as He gives me His strength. And you're only going to do well as God gives you His strength to do well. And so it is. Verse 21. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word of the Lord that He hath spoken, that the Lord spoke? How are we going to know what God has said? Let me ask us today, how do you know whenever someone is telling you the truth and when they're not? How many of you know some people can tell you a lie that's pretty convincing? Amen. Yeah. I've had a few people tell me things that sounded so good at the time, but I found out later it wasn't true. How do you know? How do you know? Well, Here's how you know in verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if that thing follow not, nor come to pass, that's the thing which God hath not spoken, but that prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of him. In other words, he told you something that didn't come to pass. You can know God didn't say it. I want to say something to you. If somebody prophesies over you, you just kind of put that on a shelf and give it some time before you do anything outstanding or anything on the spur of the moment. Give it time to ferment. Give it time to take hold, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying don't be sensitive to what God's saying. I'm not saying that at all. Don't get me messed up here. But listen to what God has to say. But if somebody prophesies something to you, give it some time. How many of you know God's not in a hurry? God's not in a hurry. It's been a long time since He walked on the face of this earth. He's not in a hurry. And if it's something that's true, He'll bring it to pass. Amen. He'll bring it to pass. It may take some time and patience. You know, I saw, I believe it was on the sign at the Lutheran church. Patience is waiting on God's timing. How true that is. My patience is not too good sometimes, I'm going to be honest about it. Sometimes I want things done a whole lot quicker than what they should be done. And so there's a lot of difference between people who profess to be prophets and speak out of their own heart and people who are really prophets that speak out of God's heart. And so We need to judge it, and we can do it by the word of God. And it says here, if he speaks in the name of the Lord and it don't come to pass, don't pay much attention to it. Be careful with it, because it's anything that's not true prophecy is part false. Part false. The word afraid here occurs many times in the Old Testament. Six or so of those times it refers to being afraid of somebody else, another person. At least one time it's not to be afraid of a fictitious God. How many of you know you don't have to be afraid of a God of stone or whatever? You don't have to be afraid of those kind of gods. They have mouths, but they can't speak, and you know, whatever. The Bible tells you that. Another time, a couple of times, it has to be afraid of the one true and living God. It's talking about a reverent fear in most cases. Some cases it's not. Sometimes you just need to be afraid of God. I wish we had more godly fear in the world today. I wish I feared God to a greater extent. Because sometimes I think we take God for granted too often on a lot of things. So we're going to conclude here this morning. If God speaks through a prophet, listen to him. If God doesn't speak through a prophet, don't listen to him. That's about as simple as I can make this lesson today. But there are true prophets and there are false prophets. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. Don't say because everything doesn't come to pass that there's not such a thing as a prophet working in the world today, because God has his prophets in the world today and they're doing what God wants them to do. And they will speak God's truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. May it find good lodging in our hearts. We ask that by your Spirit you would expound this word to us. Make it alive in us, Lord, so that we can know what to say, what to do, and how to do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor? Amen. Thank you.
about that time for them to hit, isn't it? Well, yeah, they did.